we can be forgiven. Yet we can come into his presence and praise and give thanksgiving, glory, and honor unto him through the blood of Jesus Christ who died that we might be forgiven. You know, anyone who makes a just claim to being acceptable to God must do so on the basis of faith. We were just talking in our adult class this morning how that God does not hear the prayer of those who are sinners. And someone said, but we've all sinned. And how true that is. But the prayer that God will not hear comes from those who live a pattern of sin. They practice sin. They live in sin. No intention of honoring or serving God. And the only way that we can have our prayers heard is by being righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have no righteousness of our own. And the only ones that he will hear are those who through faith trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we have that faith and trust in Jesus Christ that our sins have been forgiven, been washed away by his precious blood. And that through him we have access to the Father. And he hears our prayers through him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says that without faith it's impossible to please God. And it's the only means that we can have of being acceptable in the sight of God through faith in him. We cannot be perfect. We can't live a righteous life. And so Jesus is our Savior. He died in our place. And it's through faith in him that we can be what God would have us to be. And our sins can be washed away. That verse says, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, that without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must, one, believe that he is, and two, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Being righteous in God's sight and being acceptable, justified in his sight, is really dependent upon those two ingredients of faith. One is the conviction that God exists, that Jesus exists, that he came to this earth, he died, that he is our Savior. That conviction, that belief that God exists. And secondly, that confidence or that trust that he will reward those that diligently seek him. In other words, that he will do as he has planned. A person might believe that God exists, but still fail to have confidence enough in God to do what God tells him to do. That is not saving faith. We must have that confidence and trust in God that he loves us, that he knows our needs, that he will care for us, that he has the power to care for us, that he will work all things together for the good of those that love him, that there is an eternal inheritance reserved for us in heaven, that he will keep all of the promises that he has made in his word to us, that he rewards those that diligently seek him. Faith means that trust in God, that confidence in God, that leads one to the giving of himself over to God, to trust in God, to do whatever God tells us to do, to live the way he tells us to live, to not do those things that he tells us not to do, but to have that complete confidence and trust in him that he knows what is right and best and that we will do then what he tells us to do. Faith, in this sense, is an opposition to what people speak of as meritorious works. That is, works by which we try to earn our salvation. We cannot earn our salvation. There is not any number of works, there's not any amount of work, there's not any single work that anybody can do in order to be right in the sight of God, to be justified, have his sins forgiven. It's only through confidence and trust and depending upon God. We cannot be saved by works of trying to, that would be works by which we might do in order to save ourselves. But there is work spoken of in the scriptures. Works in connection with faith. And these works demonstrate one's confidence and trust in Jesus Christ and in God as his Savior. And faith is never placed in contrast with the works that are produced by faith. If Jesus Christ is living within us and we have committed our lives into his care, and we have confidence and trust in him, then there are works that will follow. We will live like that. And so those type of works will follow the faith in Jesus Christ. The works produced by faith are called obedience of faith in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 5. And by such works, faith is made perfect in Galatians 2 and verse number 22. Obedience that pleases the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father comes from faith. In the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 27, the Apostle Paul is talking about this, how that we are saved by faith and that we are justified by faith. And he says there in Romans 3 and verse number 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, by the law of faith. What he's talking about boasting there, he's simply talking about that we can't boast. We can't take any credit ourselves for our salvation because we're not saved by any works that we do. And so it's excluded. And so, but we're saved by the law of faith, he says. The law of faith is that divine arrangement for saving the lost through faith. It's that divine principle. And we're saved by faith in him, not by any righteousness of our own. The term law, on the other hand, here is used to denote that Old Testament system by which people tried to live in Old Testament time. The law of faith indicates the whole of Christianity. And so if we're going to be saved today, it's upon the basis of faith. But now, taking our cue from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, I'd like for us to see what that faith embodies. Faith implies that people believe. But all believers are not in the same category. There are some who claim to believe, and yet they are different than others who claim to believe. Here's what I mean. I'd like to talk about three groups of believers. There's one group of believers who believe, but who do nothing as a result of their faith. If you were to meet them on the street and you were to ask if they believed in God, they would tell you, yes, they believed in God. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, that he's the Savior? Yes, they'd probably tell you that he's the Savior, that he's the Son of God. But if you were to watch their lifestyle, you would not find them worshiping on Sunday. You would not find them during the week reading their Bible. You would not find them spending time on their knees in prayer. So they believe, but they do nothing. I think James is talking about some people who are in this category in James, the second chapter. And I like to turn to that and read that at this time. In James 2 and verse number 14, he asked the question there, what does it profit, my brethren, Though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? Now, when he asks the question, can faith save him? I think he's talking about this man who says he has faith, but he doesn't have works. And he's asking, can that faith save him? Can the one here who says he believes, but he does nothing, he doesn't work, he doesn't do anything that the Lord tells him to do, he doesn't live like the Lord tells him to do, can that faith save him? He believes. I think this is a question James is asking at this point. And that faith that he talks about here is the faith without works, that faith that does not do anything, does not express itself in works. And James answers the question here as we read on. He gives this illustration first there in verses 15 and 16. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? So he says, here's a person who's without food and clothing and shelter, and you tell them, well, they come to your door and ask for something, and you say, I'll pray for you. Depart in peace. God be with you. But you don't give them a thing. He says, what does it profit? And he makes the application of verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. If belief is not followed by obedience to what he tells us to do, doing the work that he tells us to do, James is saying, then what profit is that type of faith? Verse 18, he gives us some indications for the real test of faith when he says, yea, a man will say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. The real test of whether one has faith in Jesus Christ and the faith of God, faith in God, is his works. Here's one that says he believes, but he doesn't obey. How can that be saving faith? How can we know he's got faith if he will not practice it? But he says, I'll show thee my faith by my works. And then verse number 19, he gives the example of the devils. He says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Why do the devils who believe tremble? They believe in God. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They know the truth. They believe the facts about it. Why are they trembling? They're not saved at all, are they? They do not have saving faith. You can't see their faith, but by their actions, we see that they do not really have saving faith. They know the evidence. They know the truth. He says, you're just like them. If you say that you believe, but you do not live it out of in a life of obedience and doing what it tells you to do, works. Then in verse number 20 is the conclusion again. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? For a person to say, I believe, but he doesn't obey, that's dead. Doesn't accomplish a thing. Well, then it gives the example of Abraham, beginning in verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Notice he says, wasn't he justified by works? He did the work. He did the command that God gave him. So he was justified right in the sight of God by the work, by the command that he kept when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar. And then he says, see thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. The belief that he had was made perfect by his following through to obey that which God told him to do. And verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. He believed God, and God knew he believed him when he demonstrated that faith by taking his son Isaac up to the mountain to offer him. And then he says in verse number 24, before the conclusion, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Now James is saying not by belief only. It's not enough just to believe. If that belief does not demonstrate itself in obedience to God, then it is dead, is what James is saying. If you turn back to Genesis chapter 22, this example he's talking about of Abraham here is found in Genesis chapter 22. We see that God told him to take his son up on the mountain, offer him as a sacrifice, you'll remember. And verse number 12 tells how that God stopped him just as he lifted the knife and was going to take the life of his son. Verse 12, God said to him, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. If Abraham had simply said, I believe, I have faith in you, but he had not done what God told him to do in taking his son, then that was a dead faith. That's in terms of what James is talking about. That faith was dead. It was not incomplete. It was not complete. And then notice what God says to him on down in verse 16. He says, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sands which is upon the sea shore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemy, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. There he's talking about Jesus Christ. Because thou hast obeyed my voice. Because thou hast obeyed my voice. Was Abraham right in the sight of God because of his works by which he earned that being pleased in the sight of God? No. It was on the basis of faith. Abraham was a sinner just like all of us, with cases of his sin, illustrations of it, his lies that he told, his deceptions that he practiced. The only way he could be justified in the sight of God was again by faith. But he demonstrated that faith, that confidence, that trust in God. That's what faith is. It's confidence in God. It's trust in God. He demonstrated that because he did what God told him to do. And God says, now I know. I know that you believe because you've not withheld thy only son. And then James continues on. Let's notice his conclusion then. And verse 25, he says, he gives the example of Rahab the harlot. He says, was she not justified by works? Now James is not saying that she earned her justification in the sight of God because she was righteous. No, she wasn't righteous at all. She was a harlot. But she did it on the basis of faith, but faith that caused her to work. Caused her to do what God told her to do. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? And then the illustration of the body, verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. A good illustration. This body without my spirit in it is dead. You separate the spirit from the body, you have death. So you separate obedience to God, doing the works that he's told us to do. You separate doing those things. You separate those things away from belief. That belief is dead. Genuine belief and faith and trust and confidence in God leads us to make that faith perfect by obedience to what God tells us to do. And we can't claim to have faith and trust in God if we are not willing to do, to make an effort to do what God has told us to do. There are many examples, even in the scriptures, of people who had faith, but it did not result in obedience to God. They didn't work. We've just studied in John chapter 8, for example, in our adult class, and here in John chapter 8, verse 31, it mentions that Jesus spoke to some of those who believed in him. And some of those very same people he's still talking to when you get down to verses 39 and 40. And they are some of the Pharisees. And he says to them that they've made the claim that they were Abraham's seed. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's seed, if you were Abraham's children, I believe that phrase is, then you would do the works of Abraham. But he says, you're going about to kill me. You see, if we are the children of God, we will do the works of God. Work must follow. In John chapter 12 and verse 42, the record says there, as Jesus taught some of the people, that among the chief rulers, many believed on him, but they would not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Because of the Pharisees, they would not confess him, lest they be put out of the synagogue. They believed, but they wouldn't obey. Are they going to be justified in the sight of God? Certainly not. We could look at some examples, for example, in the book of Acts, in Acts 24, verses 24 through and 25, you read about the Apostle Paul here as he's trying to teach one of the rulers by the name of Felix. And the record says there in Acts 24, in verse 24, that he, as he reasoned with Felix concerning righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, that Felix told him to go his way. When he had a more, he trembled, he says, verse 25, and said, go thy way. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. He trembled, indicate he believed what he was saying. But he would not obey. Again, in the 22nd chapter of the book of Acts, in 24, we read where he's talking with King Agrippa. And he said to King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? That's in verse 27. And then he says, I know that thou believest. Then King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. He believed. He knew the truth. He believed there was a God in heaven. He says, almost you persuade me to become a Christian. But he would not. James 1 and verse 22 says that we need to be doers of the word, not just hearers only, deceiving our own selves. So the first group that we have mentioned this morning, and we're not going to spend this much time on all of them, but it's important that we notice that just believing without obedience to God will not make us justified in the sight of God. Are there not many today who claim that they believe, but yet they will not acknowledge him or will not confess him? There are many who believe, but they will not be obedient to him. They won't confess faith in him. They won't be baptized into him as commanded in the scriptures. They forsake the assembling of the Lord's body together with other Christians. They do not give as they have prospered. It's not enough just to believe, but we must be obedient to him and demonstrate that we have that faith in him. But a second group are those who believe and work as a result of their faith, but they believe the wrong thing. You know, there's always a corresponding relationship between a man's faith and that which it leads him to do. Every man will act in accordance with what he believes. He's sincerely and honest with himself. No conscientious man will act contrary to his sincere convictions, but he will zealously do that which he believes is right. And one prime example of that is Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. And in Acts chapter 23, we read here when he was standing before the court of the Jews, he says, "Men, brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day." And we know how he had persecuted Christians, gave his consent when they put to death, even went to foreign cities in search of Christians to put them in prison. But now later on, when he's on trial himself for being a Christian, he says, "I have lived in all good conscience before God to this day." Paul did that what he believed was right according to his conscience, but he believed the wrong thing. He believed it was wrong to be a Christian, that Christ was an imposter, evidently, and that it was the right thing to do to stamp out this sect called the Christians, because he defended the traditions and the belief of his fathers. In Acts 26 and verse number 9, later on, before King Agrippa, he says there regarding this period in his life, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." That's what he believed, and he acted according to his conscience, but he believed the wrong thing. And so the works that followed were also wrong. It does make a difference what a person believes. Many people today say it doesn't matter. You can believe whatever you believe. It's all right. Proverbs 4 and verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." What we believe in our heart will be the issues of life. That's what we're going to do in life. And Jesus himself said in Matthew 12, verses 34 and 35, that a good man out of the abundance of his heart, the mouth speaks. We bring forth out of our mouth that which is in our hearts. And in Matthew the 15th chapter, he again speaks about the same thing when he says those things that proceed forth out of the mouth. He says these are the things that defile a man. And he says, "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." These things come forth from the heart. What a man believes in his heart then comes out in his words and his actions. So there are some who believe, but they believe the wrong thing. Jesus said in John 8, verse 31 through 32, "If you continue in my word, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The Apostle Paul and his teaching is the supreme example there. He mentions how in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 13, how that in his former life before he became a Christian, how that he persecuted the church and those things that he did. He did them in ignorance. And he was trying to persuade his Jewish brethren then that they needed to make a change. In Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, he said there that, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." They were zealous toward God. They said they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They were trying to please God by their own works of meritorious effort in the keeping of the law of Moses. And they didn't understand the truth about Jesus Christ and salvation through him. So there are some who believe, but they believe the wrong thing. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, "Except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Oh, the truth matters. Some people think it doesn't matter. It does. Because whatever we believe is going to affect the way that we live. And faith without works that follow is dead. Then the last group that I would mention. First, there are those who believe, but they do not obey. They're not obedient. They do not work as a result. Secondly, there are those who believe and they work, but they believe the wrong thing. Thirdly, there are those who believe the right thing and they act accordingly. They're obedient to that true belief which they profess in their hearts. The only way to have this faith that pleases God is by hearing God's word. Our belief must come from God's word. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The faith that pleases God is that that's based upon his word. The works and the obedience that pleases him are the ones commanded in his word. I can't just go out here and say, well, I believe in God, and so I'm going to do this or something else here, and by this thing I'm going to show my belief in God. No, if I believe in God, then I'm going to do what he tells me. Not I can't invent some other means of obedience or works to do. That those won't demonstrate faith in him. Trust and confidence in God means I do those things which he tells me to do. Otherwise, I really don't demonstrate trust and faith in him. If I go out and do my own thing, then I'm demonstrating confidence and faith in myself. Not in God or in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Genuine faith will be followed by works ordained of God. And by those works will his faith be made perfect, according to James. Be perfected, be complete. James 2, verse 22. In Acts chapter 2, there's an illustration of this. Where we look here on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, whenever Peter preached to the people that were gathered here, he said to some of these people, noting in verse number 23, about Jesus Christ, that he was delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God. He says, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. As he preached to the people, the masses there, said they had taken Jesus Christ, they crucified him, they've slain him. Verse number 36, he again concludes his sermon by saying, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. These people were not believers. They had taken Jesus, turned him over to the cruel hands of the Romans, and the Romans placed him upon the cross. They did not believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. But as Peter preached to them on this day, verse 37 says that when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They're saying, we believe, or at least part of them are, as we're going to see here. Part of them were saying, we believe. They were cut in their hearts. They were convinced that what he was saying was the truth. They believed, and they said, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. Turn your lives about. Make a change is what that means. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he says, for this promise is to you, to your children, to many as afar off, all the Gentiles, and to as many as the Lord our God shall call. And we read here then that same day, we go on down there about verse 41, they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That very day, about 3,000 of them believed that Jesus was the Christ. And then they did. Notice they did what Peter said for them to do. Whenever they believed, they cried out saying, men and brethren, what shall we do? He told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, did these 3,000 who were baptized on this day, did they have faith in Jesus Christ? And you're all, everyone, going to say yes. How do you know they did? Because they did the works that he told them to do. They were obedient to that which he told them to do. They repented. They were baptized. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot claim to have faith in Jesus Christ. We cannot claim that He is our Savior if we are not willing to trust Him with our lives and to do what He tells us to do. If we're not willing to commit ourselves in repentance, first repentance, turning away from doing those things which are wrong, changing one's life, turning to Him. That's what repentance is. The conversion, turning about, and beginning to do that which pleases Him. Then we can know that that person has faith and confidence, trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because they make that change in their lives. They're baptized into Jesus Christ. Baptized into His death, Romans chapter 6. Raised to walk in newness of life. We can know that person has faith in Jesus Christ. They're justified in His sight. Into which one of these categories this morning do you fall? Are you among those who claim to believe, but you do not have the courage to stand up against the world and to do what the Lord tells you to do? There are some just like those chief rulers that believed on Him, but they wouldn't confess that belief. There are some who love to do, who are not willing to repent. They say, "Oh, I believe Jesus the Christ, but I'm not willing to repent." They're not willing to make a change in their lives. Not willing to give up the ways of the world. Or maybe they're afraid if they believe and repent and become a Christian that they're going to miss out on something that they want to enjoy of this world. To have faith in Jesus Christ, we must give up all other things and commit our lives in trust, confidence in Him. An artist and a poet were examining a painting that another artist had painted. It was a painting of the two blind men of Jericho that Jesus healed. It's supposed to be a likeness of that scene. And the artist was asking the poet what he thought about it, and he says, "I like it very much, because I like the way that all the details are drawn into the picture, the way the blind men are positioned, and Jesus, as He's standing here healing them." And he thought it was very good, but he says, "There's one thing that impresses me above all other in the painting." And then he pointed in the background, laying on the ground, to a cane, blind man's cane. He says, "This man made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. He laid down his cane. That had been the means of getting him through life before, his cane. But he didn't need that anymore, because he turned to Jesus Christ, and faith and trust and confidence in Him left his cane behind." If you have faith and confidence and trust in Jesus Christ as the Savior, the Son of God, won't you be willing to lay aside, leave behind those things that keep you from rendering obedience, maybe even in baptism this morning? Won't you lay them aside? Trust God. Trust Him. And commit it all to Him in faith, obedience to Him. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come now while we stand, while we sing?